بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، continuing our studies of the biography of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. And we have seen that after the revelation has come and the people started accepting Islam little by little, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, him and his few companions, they are calling people to al-Islam and they're warning people from shirk, but they're doing that privately and quietly and not openly and not apparently, not in public. And this occurred for 3 years. But the people who are accepting Islam little by little, likewise, their families, they're not liking that. And Quraysh is harming many of them. And then in the fourth year, it was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ and warn your relatives and your closest of relatives. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he began to warn his tribesmen from Quraysh. And likewise, it was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَاسْدَعْ بِمَا تُؤْمَرْ and proclaim outwardly that which you have been commanded. And this was in the fourth year. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was commanded to proclaim outwardly. He was commanded to proclaim outwardly and to call all of the people to Islam. And to call all of the people to Islam. So the timeline points that we have now is that for the first 3 years after prophethood, there was da'wah to al-Islam. But how was the da'wah? Khafiyya. It was hidden, or it was silent, or it was private. Sirriya. We understand that? This is a point that we want to make. In the fourth year, the command came for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to proclaim the da'wah outwardly. And first, specifically to warn his family members sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And it has been collected by Al-Imam Ahmed rahimahullahu ta'ala from the hadith of Ali radiyallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he gathered several of his family members from Quraysh, several of his tribesmen from Bani Hashim. And they gathered for food, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam fed them. He fed them all and gave them a good drink, and he would not eat or drink himself. And he made sure that everybody got full. And after that, he told them that he's the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he asked them, who is going to help him? Who is going to help him convey the message? And you will have Jannah. Who is going to protect me? And who is going to help me? And who is going to support me in this affair? And every time he said that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, amongst Banu Hashim, there was somebody who lived with the Prophet that was also from Bani Hashim. Who was he? He lived with the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ali. And he was just a little boy. And Ali, he was just a little boy, radiallahu anhu. And every time the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, who is going to help me? Who's going to protect me? Who's going to defend me? Who's going to take care of me and help me convey the message? And then everybody's looking at him, and all the big men are not saying anything. And Ali, he said that I was the smallest of them and the youngest of them, and I would stand up and I would say, me, Anna, I will help you and I'll protect you and I will follow you. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would say, Ijlis, sit down. And then he would talk some more, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then he would say it again, who's going to protect me? Who's going to help me? Who's going to defend me? Who's going to take care of me? Like this, and you'll have Jannah. Who's going to be, man yakun li akhi wa sahibi, yakun akhi wa sahibi, who will be my brother and my companion? And he from his tribesmen, from Banu Hashim. And you know what happened? Nobody said anything. But who stood up? Ali radiallahu anhu again. He said, Ana, I will. And he's only a little bitty boy. He's not even a man yet. He's not even in that age of puberty, but he's strong and he believes and he has faith. And that's the grace of Allah upon him and his blessing upon Ali radiallahu anhu that he was strong in iman. And he was a young boy. And he was a young boy, but he had strong faith and his heart was strong. Radiallahu anhu. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ijlis, sit down. And then He asked them again, who is going to help me? Who is going to protect me? And then he stood up. And then Ali radiallahu anhu, he said, Ana, like this, the third time. And this time the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he put his hand and his hand together like this. Said, yes, you're going to help me. Ibn Kathir rahimahullahu ta'ala, he mentioned that on that day, at this moment, there's nobody from the tribe of Hashim that had more sincere faith and strong iman and strength in the deen than that young boy right there, Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. And because of this, he was the first of them to help the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to follow him and to comply to his commandments. After this, wallahu alam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he called all of the tribes and all of his family members, not only Bani Hashim, but the rest of the tribes of Quraysh together. And this is collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. And we read from that which Bukhari he has mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala. And it's from the hadith of Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu. He said that صعد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صفا ذات يوم, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, one day he climbed up onto the mountain called As-Safa. Who knows that mountain? The mountain called As-Safa. Huh? Who knows that word in the Quran? إن الصفا والمروة من شعائر الله. نعم, As-Safa is the mountain in Mecca, right next to Al-Masjid Al-Haram. And the people who make sa'i, they go between Safa and Marwa, like this, back and forth between these two mountains. So these are mountains that are very close to the Kaaba. And it was very well known to the Arabs, especially Quraysh in that time, this is in the area that they live. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one day he got up on this mountain Safa. He got up on the mountain Safa, and then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ya sabaha, ya sabaha, ya sabaha. This is a word that they say whenever there's going to be lots of danger. If they want to like warn the people, and they would cry out and yell out to the people to warn them of some very important information coming or some danger that's coming to them, they would say, ya sabaha, like this, and the people would come. And what's happening? What's happening? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did this on this day. فَاجْتَمَعَتْ إِلَيْهِ قُرَيْشِ. All of Quraysh came. All of Quraysh came. And even it's been mentioned that sometimes one person from Quraysh would come from one tribe. If he's not able to come, he will send somebody to go for him. And in any case, all of the people, they're coming to the gathering now to see what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is going to tell them. And what is he saying? And whenever they came, they're called, مَا لَكَ, what's happening? What's going on? They said to him, what is the matter? What are you calling everybody for? And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, رَأَيْتُمْ لَوْ أَخْبَرْتُكُمْ أَنَّ الْعَدُوَّ يُصَبِّحُكُمْ أَوْ يُمَسِّيكُمْ أَمَا كُنْتُمْ تُصَدِّقُونِ. He said, if I were to tell you now, he called, Ya Sabah, everybody come, I gotta tell something very important, it's very dangerous. When everybody gets there, you know, they're like, what's going on? What do you need? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, first he asked him, he said, if I were to tell you right now that there is a great army coming that's coming and is going to destroy you, it's right on the other side of the mountain, they're going to come soon to raid us and harm us, will you believe me? Well, they said, of course we're going to believe you. Of course we're going to believe you. مَا جَرَّبْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ إِلَّا صِدْقًا. We never know anything from you except you tell the truth. Huh? So now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's affirming them, or making them affirm that he doesn't lie, and they know that he does not lie. So now they said, Bala, of course we will believe you. So he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَإِنِّي نَذِيرٌ لَكُمْ بَيْنَ يَدَيْ عَذَابٍ شَدِيدٍ. He said, verily, I'm a warner. I'm coming to you to warn you of a severe punishment. I'm coming to you to warn you of a severe punishment. And the punishment of those who worship idols and disobey Allah, and the punishment of those who disbelieve and turn away from the truth, and the punishment of those who follow the religions of falsehood and the ways of falsehood. And therefore the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came as a warner. Qum fa'andhir, arise and warn. At this time, somebody from Quraysh was there, one of his family members. You know what his name was? They call him Abu Lahab. Abu Lahab at this time, he got up and he said, Tabban laka. Il Ali hada jama'atana. He said, may you be destroyed and perish. May you be a loser. Like this. Tabban laka. He said, this what you called us for? You called us all the way over here for this to say that you're a messenger of Allah and you have revelation and you're warning us? Like this. He was belittling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he was very rude. Tabban laka, like this. He said, Tabban laka, like this. May you perish. May you be destroyed. May you be a loser. Like this. That's what Tabban means. And then at this time, briefly after this, there was a revelation that was revealed. Who knows that revelation? فأنزل الله تبت يدا أبي لهب وتب. Now, and at this time, this was the reason for the revelation of the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla, perish the two hands of Abu Lahab. And he made the hands of Abu Lahab perish and be destroyed. May he be a loser. And this was the issue here. At this time, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he began to call the people outwardly. And he began to clarify the truth directly. And he began to face the mushrikeen with the da'wah and to clarify to them the truth. And at this time, the punishment became worse and the harm became worse and worse and worse on the believers. The punishment, the punishment and the torture that the Quraysh was giving and the enmity that they had to the believers became even more and became worse and more severe. And it was very difficult for the believers. But we remember that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had tribesmen that would defend him. And from them, Abu Talib, and likewise Abu Bakr, and many of the noble companions that had a good lineage with Quraysh, they had tribesmen and relatives that would protect them. But there were others who did not have any tribesmen, who were freed slaves, or they themselves were slaves, and they were harmed. And we have seen many of the examples of that in our previous class. And that from them, Bilal ibn Rabah radiallahu anhu, he was harmed. And likewise, Ammar ibn Yasir and his father Yasir, and likewise his mother Sumayya, they were all harmed. And from the harm that they would do to all of them is they would take them in the middle of the daytime and put them on their backs in the hot, hot, hot desert sand. And then they would put rocks on the scorching desert sand. And then they would put rocks on top of their bellies. So they have heat coming from the bottom and heat coming from the top. And it's mentioned that they were being harmed so bad that after they're done with them, they would not even be able to sit down. Their bodies would hurt so bad they could not even sit down, because they would be tortured so much. And many of them, they would refuse to say what they wanted to say. The mushrikun would tell them to say that Lat is your God, or they would say that this is your God, or say something bad about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some of them, they refused entirely. From them, Bilal, he would not say anything radiallahu anhu except Ahad, Ahad, I believe in Allah, I believe in Allah. Ahad, Allah is Allah, the one and only. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And with this patience, Allah made him strong and made him from the best of the companions. And he was freed. And we've seen the story of that. And Abu Bakr, he freed him radiallahu anhu. He purchased him and freed him radiallahu anhu. But as for the family of Yasir, Alu Yasir, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to pass by them. He used to pass by them while they're being punished, all of them together. His father and his mother and him himself, all three of them, they were being punished because they were weak and they did not have tribesmen. And they were from the freed slaves. And they were they did not have anybody to protect them, yani from the people. So they took advantage of them and they would do the same thing to them also. And the Prophet would see them, and he would not be able to do anything, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he would say to them, Sabran ala Yasir, maw'idukum al-jannah. Be patient, O family of Yasir, because your promise is paradise. The promise that you have and the meeting that you are, that and the appointment that you have is paradise. And they were patient in that manner all the way until Abu Jahl, he killed Sumayya with a spear and he stabbed her, radiallahu anha, and she was the first shaheed in Islam, the first person to die and for their religion, because she refused to say what they wanted her to say. She refused to say what they wanted her to say, and they were talking really bad to her, and she said something back, and at that time Abu Jahl, he stabbed her with a spear. And if we think now about the beginning of al-Islam, and we see who was the first person to accept Islam. The first person. Khadija bint Khuwaylid. That Khadija, that's a female name or a male name? Huh? That's a female name. Even the first, that means the first person to accept Islam was a woman. Was a woman. Huh? The first person to accept Islam and believe in Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a woman. And then look, likewise, who was the first person to die as a martyr, as a shaheed for the cause of Allah Azza wa Jalla in defense of their religion? Sumayya, radiallahu anha. She was a woman likewise. So therefore we see the first woman, the first person to accept Islam is a woman. And the first person to die for Islam is a woman. And this shows us the great status of women in al-Islam. And that Islam, it has great honor and respect for women, whether the first one to believe in the Prophet was a woman, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the first one to stand in defense of the statement, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, was a woman. Therefore, women have a great rank and great status. And because of this, Islam has a great and beautiful and wonderful legislation of protecting and preserving the woman, and preserving the rights and the honor of the women. And the woman who follows this legislation, she has nobility and honor in this life and the hereafter. And the woman who is deficient in this, then she has deficiency in her deen and in her honor and in her respect accordingly. So therefore, for my young sisters, you must know that all honor is in your religion and abiding by the regulations of your deen. And you should be like Khadija radiallahu anha, and you should have no doubt. And the prophethood of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you should follow him. You should follow him sincerely. And you should also be like Sumayya radiallahu anha, and you should not give up anything from your deen because it's cool or it's on YouTube or it's fashion or the likes like this, but rather you follow your religion, you be strong and steadfast in the times of trials. And these are our role models and examples. We have role models from men and role models from women. And likewise for you young boys as well. You have the great role model in Ali radiallahu anhu. All the men were like, I'm not talking about this. I'm not following. They didn't say nothing. They wouldn't say nothing. But Ali, he did not worry about all the people are bigger than him or older than him. Or either he stood up. Anna, I'll follow you. I believe in you. I will aid you. I will support you. Me. Like this, he's ready to be strong and because he has faith and he has Islam. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you with the deen, then you hold fast to that. And you take pride and honor in that. And you never give it up for nothing. When people will try you and test you, but you hold fast. We have to hold fast. And these are our role models. Because as you are growing and as you get bigger, your mind is becoming mature. And the temptations of the dunya become more apparent. And the trials of life will come. But if you learn now the proper deen and you know who you are and that you are a slave of Allah and that you're created from an alaqa, a blood clot, and you're going back to Allah and that Allah, He is the most kind and generous and He sent to you a messenger and He made you from the people of al-Islam, then you hold fast to that. And this will be a means for you to have a strong faith and iman and for your aqidah to be rasikha. For your creed to be strong and deeply rooted in your heart, for you to be steadfast upon Islam in the face of trials and tribulations, just like those companions were, radiallahu anhum. We see that the punishment became more and more, and the torture got worse and worse. And at this time, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he is ready to allow his companions to leave the land of Mecca in order to save their religion and to save their deen and to save their lives. And there was an issue that we mentioned yesterday, just to make it clear, the events that have been mentioned so far, these are in the first 4 years. The first 3 years was the da'wah was silently and it was private and it wasn't open. And then in the fourth year, it became open. Whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He ordered the Prophet to warn his family. And likewise, He ordered the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fasda' bima tu'mar, to proclaim outwardly, meaning to pronounce outwardly and to warn the people altogether. And then He gathered the people in Safa in this manner, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And after the fourth year, and after he began to proclaim outwardly at this time, the torture became worse. The torture became worse. And also there was another event that I would like to clarify, and that is any according to how it has been arranged in Fusul, which we know this is the book that we're using as a guideline, Fusul fi Sirat al-Rasul, which is the book of Ibn Kathir rahimahullah ta'ala. He mentioned the event of Bilal and the other slaves as well, radiallahu anhum, and the event of Sumayya, all together. But it has been mentioned by Sheikh Abdul Razak, hafidhahullah ta'ala, that the death of Sumayya was in the fifth year. So, wallahu alam, some of the events, it's hard to determine the exact year and the dates of them, whether it was in this year or in that year. But some events have been mentioned specifically. In any case, this all is occurring in the beginning of the revelation, in the first few years of the revelation and the prophethood of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The point that we want to summarize, the first 3 years after, the first we had the revelation, and then after that, the first who accepted Islam. And then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he called those people to Islam, and those few names likewise. And they're the first and foremost from Islam. And then the da'wah continued for 3 years privately. And they're calling individuals privately, and people are accepting Islam left and right. And likewise, in the fourth year, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was commanded to proclaim outwardly and to warn his family, and then to warn all of the people. And at this time, the harm and the enmity from the mushrikeen became worse and worse. And all in this period, there is punishment and there is torture going on for the Muslims, especially the weak ones. And then in the fifth year coming, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going to let the companions make hijrah to Habasha, and we will see the first of them to make hijrah is Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu and his wife Ruqayya bint Muhammadin Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and also Abu Salama and his wife Salama radiallahu anhuma, and others from the companions. And this is our discussion in the class to come, inshaAllah. And also there was a migration of one more companion, and his name is Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. He migrated to Habasha, or at least he set out on the path, and something happened. And we will see the issues of these affairs, inshaAllah. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.